niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in to another episode of The Link Up, to another week in wrestling. Apologize for not being with y'all last week. Got some technical difficulties. We're going to try to be with y'all this week. Before we get started, thoughts and prayers to everybody. We got a storm coming, Hurricane Milton. So, you know, it's supposed to touch down in North Florida tonight. So, you know, thoughts and prayers with everybody and, you know, everybody that, you know, the hurricane weather is affecting. Definitely thoughts and prayers with you guys. But as far as content, man, we got another week in wrestling. I'm your host, Ron the Don. Also, your other host, since he don't like the word co-host, you know, burning in the light like Randy Orton, Alan Zander. What's going on, man?
Man, look, y'all gonna have to cut my boy Ron the Don some slack, all right? They going through a hurricane. We may experience technical difficulties, so y'all gonna have to bear with us on this episode of Week in Wrestling. But other than that, I'm just glad to be back.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy because we got a lot to talk about. I'm going to try not to, you know, Xander said I'll be flip-flopping back and forth from face to heel. But when we get to talking about bad blood, I'm going to try not to, you know, go too crazy with that. But, you know, let's start off the show a little different.
If you're going to shoot, you got to shoot. You got to shoot. If you're going to shoot, shoot, bro.
Darn it. Hey, you sounding like Sonya Deville right now.
Oh, man.
That boy in the... You in the PFC?
Oh, no. No. Never that.
But nah, man. Before we get into, you know, bad blood and all of that, we got NXT. We saw last night. And we didn't get to talk about it. NXT got a full rebrand. We off to an amazing start. What was your thoughts on NXT these past 2 weeks with the rebrand and everything?
They're definitely showing some signs of growth. But, I mean, this is going to take a lot of getting used to with the whole traveling situation, because I know they're going to be traveling from city to city, state to state now. So it's just going to have to take – so the brand itself, NXT, is getting used to that because they've been stationed in Florida for years. So them traveling to other cities and stuff like that, they're going to have to try to find venues now. They're going to have to try to get their numbers up with ticket sales and stuff in that matter, because they've never been seen really as a third brand. They've been seen as, like, you know, like developmental territory. So for them to step out there, it's bold. They're making a real bold move by stepping out of their comfort zone and going to other cities and other states to try to venture off and see if they could build a fan base throughout, you know, and not just staying in Florida.
One thing I could say, definitely understand it from the standpoint of, you know, on the last part, we talked about how TKO was saying that they want to do less house shows. So to be able to recover some of that money, put an NXT on the road, more opportunity for people to see, you know, WWE products. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. What do you think about, you know, the new logo, the new theme song, the new titles, just the new overall feel? You like the silver and black?
Yeah, I like the silver and black. I'm not really downplaying at all. Like, and the titles, I mean, the titles are good. I like the way the titles look. I mean, I don't think NXT, and this is coming from me, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I don't think NXT has a bad, like, title design as of right now. So, I mean, so if you ask me, I like the rebrand. If I had to rate it from 1 to 10, I'd give the rebrand about a good 7.5 or 8.
No, I definitely agree. I love the rebrand, man. I actually like the titles. They grew on me. Somebody said on Twitter, like, they look like UFC belts.
Yeah.
Which they kind of do.
Yeah, they do.
But I like that, though. But let's get into last night episode. We had a lot of, you know, big things happen. We saw Kalani Jordan team up with the women's tag team champions, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill. We saw Sexy Red do a live performance. Shout out my dog Booker T. He got to be the biggest Sexy Red fan on earth. We saw Whoop That Trick Yeet chant between Trick Williams fans and Jey Uso fans coming together. The rhythm was a little off at first, but they ended up getting it on track. And then we saw Tony D'Angelo do the unthinkable and defeat Oba Femi for that North American championship. You know what I'm saying? And then in that main event, we had the hometown kid, well, who's a grown man now, Randy Orton, going against the up-and-coming young OG, you know, bound to get bouncy anytime he step in that ring, Javon Evans in the main event. And I know this really piqued your interest. So what stood out to you for NXT last night?
The high-flying action, yo. I ain't gonna lie. Javon Evans is really growing on me. Like, he is definitely, as far as we talking, like, top fives, he's definitely top five NXT wrestlers right now, in my opinion. Like, just because of the vibe he brings, the relatability that he has. Because if you look at somebody like Javon Evans, you know what I mean? And say if you're like, you know, you grew up in like the, like, pretty much like back in the old days era or whatever, you wouldn't think of someone like Javon Evans being a WWE superstar. Like, you just wasn't seeing it. But because of how he looks and everything, it kind of gives people, you know, that sense of hope and, like, you know, like, kind of like you can kind of like relate to him in a sense, because he's not the biggest. He ain't the strongest, but he's definitely the fastest, one of the fastest, and he can bounce. Like you said, he's bound to get bouncy anytime you step in that ring. So him doing all the type of stuff that he's doing, pause. I don't know if it was a pause, but I'm going to say it anyway, just to protect my assets.
I said pause, no diddy.
All right. Well, I'm saying it again, just in case. But, yeah, man, I mean, yeah, he's definitely a solid worker. And for Randy Orton to want to match with him and be like, okay, because I'm pretty sure Randy Orton pinpointed him, because I'm pretty sure he was put in a situation to where he could have wrestled anybody since they're going to St. Louis. But he chose Javon Evans. That should let you know where he stands in NXT and all of, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment as a whole. So I see big things for him. You know what I mean? And he's young. I see big things coming for him for real.
Definitely. I definitely see big things coming for him. And like you were saying, like, back in the old days, this style of wrestler, like this aesthetic of wrestler, you wouldn't typically get, you know, you probably had a few, you know, here and there, but now you're starting to see a lot more. And what's cool, like, I don't know if you saw, like, the little skit that Triple H and Shawn Michaels did, you know, kind of like redoing their State of the Union address. Like, they trying to get more hip, bring more, like, of the modern day lingo and vibes to pro wrestling. That's why you see people like Sexy Red, Tyrese Halliburton, Quavo, Lil Baby, Metro Boomin. So they definitely trying to, you know, take that path. So I definitely see big things, you know, for the future of Javon Evans.
Definitely.
Now, moving forward to SmackDown, we saw AJ Styles return. We almost got a dream match between AJ Styles and Carmelo Hayes, but then AJ Styles got injured. We got a coming soon vignette, which has been heavily speculated as the Motor City Machine Guns. We had a dumpster match for the first time in years between Meechan and Chelsea Green. We had Bayley calling out Nia, Tiffany Stratton teasing the cash in. We'll get into more of that later. We had Naomi defeating Tiffany Stratton. And then we got the Tongans and the true tribal chief, Tonga Loa, ascending to that ladder, Botch No More, grabbing those tag titles and retaining in a triple threat tag team ladder match main event. What was your thoughts on SmackDown?
Now, Would you believe me if I told you this? That we are potentially looking at possibly the top, the next top two baby faces in SmackDown right now, in Tiffany Stratton and Austin Theory? Would you believe me if I told you that? Because that's what it's shaping up to be right now. Because Tiffany Stratton is in a situation where she could turn, and Austin Theory is in a position, and we've already been talking about it. I mean, they kind of playing the slow game with Austin Theory, which is cool. Which is cool. It's going to pay off in the end. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. But SmackDown as a whole, solid. I mean, to randomly put a ladder match on a SmackDown, that should let you know, like, the type of, like, path that they're going. You know what I mean? They want it to be pretty much to where you least expect it, you know? Unpredictable. But
this is what I wanted to mention, though. Like, this is what Triple H has been saying. A lot of people was complaining about, you know, Orton PLE matches, like the amount of matches. But when you shorten the matches, you get more on the shows every week. So which would you rather prefer? And, you know, a lot of people had problems with Raw. We're going to get to that, too. Got to definitely get to that. But, like, you know, we're seeing championship matches, dumpster matches, ladder matches, last man standing matches. Like, WWE is doing it big right now for me, personally, as far as, like, entertaining matches. Yeah. I'm excited about the Motor City Machine Guns. I know, as you know, back in the day, TNA, that was me. That was one of my favorite, you know, things to watch every Monday, you know, when it was going head-to-head with Raw. And the Motor City Machine Guns, although they are seasoned vets now, they are legit. So I can't wait for them to bolster that tag team division on SmackDown. And I'm really hoping for them versus DIY down the line. That's going to be a banger.
Yeah. Like I was saying before, man, as far as the situation with the Motor City Machine Guns, rather late than never. So, hey, they may be seasoned vets, but if Triple H is able to see something in them that they could still bring to the table, he wouldn't assign them. So I'm pretty sure if that vignette was for the Motor City Machine Guns, then we are definitely looking at, you know, it's something that's going to cook. It's going to cook.
We gearing up for a wild ride, definitely. And with that being said, we saw reports come out recently about a SmackDown water coaster ride coming to Six Flags. Mm. How excited are you about this? And will you be going to ride that ride? Pause.
Oh, man. Well, Six Flags is a little far for me. But if I'm ever in a state where there is a Six Flags, best believe I'm definitely going to try it out for sure. Because it's a water slide, right?
Yeah, water coaster.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's definitely going to have to get... I'm going to have to try that out for sure. Most definitely. That definitely seems like it's going to be fun, though.
Man, I love it, man. Like, I don't know. It's just so crazy. Like, if you would have told me maybe like 10 years ago that the WWE is going to get bigger than what it is, I would have been like, no way. Like, they got rid of all their competition, and they were like the standalone biggest thing. But it just seems like WWE is getting bigger, like, somehow. And it's just, yeah. So, like, now
They just keep finding ways to innovate, you know? That's why they'll always be the number one brand. I don't care what nobody say. Argue with a wall. Like, it's just, they're always going to be the number one brand. They're always going to be the number one place that a lot of independent wrestlers are going to want to go to, no matter what they say, but in the back of their mind, that they just want to wrestle for them at some point. You know, it's just is what it is. Like, don't try to pull that card. You know you want to wrestle for them. If you can. Hey, man. Who wouldn't want to live their dream and go wrestle for them? Like, come on now.
Definitely, man. I mean, everybody, if you grew up as a WCW fan, that's fair. Even though they only had, you know, their that certain period of time. But everybody grew up loving the WWE, no matter what you say. Now, what you...
WWE, whatever you want to call it.
Exactly. So, I definitely that. But, you know, speaking of having a match, two gentlemen that had a match kicked off Bad Blood in a Hell in a Cell match and earned 5 stars. I'm talking about CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, What were your thoughts on this match?
It's crazy. Just let you know that we are just, they're just planting those seeds, bro, for like Raw on Netflix. They're planting them seeds. Every episode, every PLE, they're planting seeds for Raw on Netflix, bro.
Yeah.
So it's just like seeing the blood. Seeing, I even seen a thing where Drew McIntyre had to get like, what, 16 staples? 14, 16 staples in his head?
Yeah, that toolbox scarred
like,
that man.
Dog, that's insane. Like, and I know them staples ain't pretty. I had to get staples on my dang own leg. I had to get 12 of them bad boys.
I had staples to get them on my lip. I still got the scar.
Yep. Got mine, like, what, right here on my side. You probably can't see it, but it's like right there. That thing was bad, yo. But yeah, man, they went through a gruesome match. CM Punk kind of trying to toy with the crowd on Monday Night Raw, saying about, you know, people now speculating that he's retiring and all this like that. But that man ain't going nowhere. We'll talk about that more later, but he ain't going nowhere.
No, I definitely enjoyed the match. Like, seeing Drew McIntyre almost break his damn back. With missing that Claymore was crazy, but this match was definitely, in my opinion, match of the night. After this, we saw Nia Jax retaining her championship. Tiffany Stratton came out to help. It looked to Nia like she was going to cash in, but she didn't. And all in all, Nia was able to defeat Bayley. We had Damian Priest defeating Finn Balor. Unfortunately, all our predictions weren't able to get uploaded, but I did say that was going to happen. And then after this, I really wanted to talk about this because, I don't know, for me, maybe I'm pessimistic in a way, but Triple H announced that he was going to have a big announcement. And that announcement was the unveiling of the Crown Jewel Championship. Only, you know, for champion versus champion to take place in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So we got to do something special for that event in Riyadh. Before I go in on this, what is your opinion?
I mean, you can't hit them all, man. You know, not everything is going to be a hit. Some things got to be a miss, you know what I mean? It's just this Saudi Arabia stuff is just like,
we heard the fans boo. The fans are
booing. It just feels like a glorified house show. Like man, shout out my boy Ryan, but like when we on the way to wrestling, training and stuff like that, we always talk about that. Like, I remember us talking about that at one time. It was like, them Saudi Arabia shows really just like a glorified house show. Like, a big old house show. Because the build-ups are always, like, I wouldn't say, like, mediocre, but the build-ups are just, I just don't know. But there's never good build-up for those shows. I mean, you really can't. Like, it's kind of tough. I see that it's kind of tough to build up for those shows because it's just like it's not, like, it's the thing. Us, like, hell. The casual WWE fan isn't really going to take those shows seriously. It's just not going to happen. But, yeah. I mean, I guess your diehard fan, even your diehard fans, I mean, they'll take it. I wouldn't necessarily say they'll take it serious, but, I mean, they'll kind of be invested into it. Like, they'll kind of give it the benefit of the doubt. Once they watch that product, it's just going to be like, that's it? Like, because I've always had that question every time I've watched a Saudi Arabia show. When I'm able to catch them, I'm just like, that's it?
Now, I will say, the last Saudi Arabia show they had, I can't remember which event it was. I don't think it was King of the Ring.
See?
But it wasn't bad, though, because Triple H was booking it. Like,
yeah, it wasn't bad, but look, though, like, you can't even recall it. It's not your fault, though. It's just they're very forgettable shows, bro.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say
the only memorable part is the terrible stuff, like Goldberg defeating The Fiend. Shawn Michaels should never came back and did that match. Goldberg versus
Neil falling over the ring. And
Goldberg versus Undertaker. Like, that one celebrity and in their country that I don't really know. He like a comedian or something. No disrespect to him. I'm just saying, like, they brought him out. Like, we were supposed to know who that was. But
and that's the match, the Goldberg vs. Undertaker match. That was a match where Undertaker almost died, huh?
Yeah.
He almost got spiked on his head, bro.
Uh-huh.
Like, come on, man.
But now, you know, I'm going to go in. Since we going in on Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia already, I'm going to go in. WWE, we don't need this. The championship is beautiful, but we do not need this. Think about it. Why would you put your top two champions, Gunther, who shouldn't take losses, Cody, who shouldn't take losses? Now, I understand, you know, we could get like one of those false finishes where somebody interfered and all of that. But still, one of your world champions are going to take a loss. I don't like it. I never liked it when they used to do it at Survivor Series. I only liked it when we got the Dream Match, but eventually it was just like, dang, the world champion just lost. He's not even a threat anymore. Same thing with the women's. Now, you got Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan. Do we really think Liv Morgan is going to beat Nia Jax?
Are we going to take it serious if
Nia Jax loses? Are we going to take her serious?
Like I said, bro, I'm looking forward to the build-up. I want to see how they're going to build this show up. Like, please, please show me something.
Now, I give y'all an idea. The only thing that's going to say this, the Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax, you have Tiffany Stratton swerve everybody. Rhea Ripley comes out, costs Liv the championship. Tiffany Stratton cashes in on Liv because you got two champions in the same place at the same time. That's how you do it.
Because at that point you can keep Tiffany Stratton as a heel, but all signs are pointing that she's gonna turn. That either Nia's gonna turn on Tiffany or Tiffany's gonna turn on Nia. Like, all signs are pointing to that. So I mean, it's a possibility though, but low possibility.
But we do not need this championship. Nobody gives a. I was almost about to go rated R on this show. We don't care about this championship, man. It looks beautiful, but honestly, like, we get on AEW about all these championships, WWE has to stop. It has to stop. Yeah. We make and it too many championships. And also, it's going to thing,
too, if they crown a new Crown Jewel champion, y'all killing Braun Strowman's 2,000-day reign, bro. He got 2,000 plus days. Hey, man. Look, man, my boy Braun Strowman on a Bruno Sammartino run, man, with that Crown Jewel Championship, I'm telling you, bro. I'm
trying to tell you. Like, I don't know. Like, that's just... But what happened after the fact was Gunther coming out, trolling Goldberg. I thought that was hilarious. You know,
I could see Goldberg getting involved, though, in that match and costing him that match in Saudi Arabia.
I could, too. But then it's like, at that point, just do what you've been doing and just book Gunther versus Goldberg at Saudi Arabia, because that's the only crowd that's going to want to see it.
Saudi Arabia loves Goldberg. Mm-hmm. They love them some Brock Lesnar. Who else? I'm missing somebody. Undertaker. They love them some John Cena. They love them some Randy Orton.
Logan Paul.
You know what? Like, how about this? How about for Crown Jewel, we just book a 2002 through 2005 card, bro. Just, hey, throw it out there. I'm just throwing it out there right now. Yeah. I ain't a booker, but we just gonna throw it out there. 2002 through 2005 roster on the Crown Jewel card. There you go.
Man, speaking of that, man, all blessings to the Guerrero family. Guerrero would have been 57 today. He clearly left behind a great influence and legacy on professional wrestling. All these wrestlers, you know, coming out saying that he's their inspiration. So shout out to, you know, Eddie Guerrero and his family as well. But back to the bad part of Bad Blood. We had Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship with Dom hanging from a shark cage. Now, Dom ended up hanging upside down somehow. And then we got the return of Raquel Rodriguez. Now, two things in this match happened. We had a biased referee refusing to count out Rhea Ripley because she wanted to get revenge on Dom. So that shows me right there, you referees, you bend the rules. All this be rigged. Second of all, Raquel Rodriguez clearly hit Rhea in front of the referee, and that man turned around like he didn't see nothing. And then they was forced to call the ring the bell.
You know, I don't know, man. This is slowly turning into like a mini segment. Bad things about bad blood.
Yeah. They lucky because this was originally gonna be the Xander slander, but we're gonna get to that later because we got something way worse than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, all in all, the match was good. The finish just ruined the match. And everybody is kind of over, like, the whole Terra Twins versus the Judgment Day. It's kind of running out of steam. So, you know, hopefully, clearly Rhea's not done. But, you know, hopefully we can improve on this. Then we got
the main event. All right, what they need to do is, this is what they need to do probably. I'm not a booker. Just throwing a disclaimer out there. Like, don't necessarily cut that rivalry out. I wouldn't necessarily save that. Because you can probably drag this all the way up until the Royal Rumble, right? Have Liv Morgan carry the championship up until WrestleMania. Have Rhea take the belt at WrestleMania. But give Liv something to do prior to that, like, to fill in them gaps. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure. Because, see, they've done that formula before. So, I'm pretty sure that y'all could pull it out for Liv Morgan. Like, come on.
Man, who knows? We could probably get a Rhea Ripley and Raquel program right now. And
yeah.
I haven't heard anything about it, but who knows? Becky Lynch might return later this year, and she can get in a feud with Liv and, you know, buy them some time. I definitely feel like they got to be separated from each other so that way the animosity can go back. But we got the main event. It was a crazy one. We had Roman Reigns teaming with Cody Rhodes, having a common enemy of the new bloodline. We had Solo and Jacob Fatu. So we finally got to see Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu in the ring versus each other. And this match was crazy. And once it seemed like Solo was about to put Roman away, thanks to the Tongans, we saw a masked man with a bandana appear. It was none other than Jimmy Uso, who distracted Solo. Roman got the win. Jimmy and Roman reunited. But this wasn't the talk of the night. The return of the final boss, The Rock. He came back and ended the show. He hit us with a 1-2-3. Now, I thought this was to cue his music, but some people are saying that it's alluding to a triple threat at WrestleMania. We'll see about that. We saw people taking videos of Solo in the crowd, and he was saying it's all a part of the plan. We had Kevin Owens attack Cody Rhodes after Bad Blood in the parking lot, which was also seen by fans. So what was your thought on all of this bloodline stuff?
Now, see, this is my theory on the whole three thing that The Rock threw up. I got two theories on it. It could have been directed to Cody Rhodes because he pinned them 1-2-3 at WrestleMania. Or it could be he now has three targets that he has to take out. Jimmy, Roman, and Cody. Jimmy, Cody, and Roman in that order. So that's probably what's going to happen. Either one of them two things. He's probably just telling him, hey, I got a win over you. I beat you. So I want that title. Or you got three people you got to take out. And it kind of makes sense with both of them because, I mean, with the thing about him having the three targets, Solo was being heard saying it's all part of the plan. So maybe he got his own little, you know, he's the one behind this whole new bloodline thing.
I think so.
Solo is the one that called the shot for Solo to be the tribal chief.
See, this is what I think. I think The Rock formed this new bloodline of savages, and they've been going after Cody Rhodes since Roman got hurt. The Rock adorned Solo as the new tribal chief, and who comes back and ruins everything? Roman Reigns. Then Jimmy Uso. So now The Rock shows back up because Roman has foiled his plans twice, and now he has to take care of Roman himself. Now, do I think The Rock is just going to come out and say this? No, I think he's going to try to be the peacekeeper and keep everybody together and then eventually turn on Roman Reigns. But I wanted to ask you something, because I've been seeing theories about Kevin Owens. Some people think The Rock has gotten into Kevin Owens' ear, and that's what led to Kevin Owens attacking Cody Rhodes. What is your thoughts on the attack that should not be talked about, according to other WWE?
I could see that, but I can also see this too. The fact that Kevin Owens spent like the last 2 to 3 years dealing with the Bloodline, right? Kevin Owens helping out Cody Rhodes against the Bloodline. Just for you to team up with the Bloodline. So that in itself probably set him over the edge. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'm tired of this. Definitely. It's time. I think his attack was based on pure just frustration. And he felt like he was the one that got betrayed, you know? Because he put in all this time, all this effort to try to get rid of the Bloodline. Try to help Cody Rhodes with the Bloodline just to, you know, get stabbed in the back.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a slap in the face to Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, everybody who has helped Cody, you know, but Cody is a forgiving champion. But I also think this is planting the seeds for that Homelander Cody that everybody has been wanting, because Cody is trying to do everything that he thinks is right. But on the outside looking in, Cody's doing all the wrong things, which is turning people against him. So I feel like in the future, that's planting the seeds for that. But, you know, it's a wait and see. One thing we saw was Monday Night Raw, the first Monday Night Raw in years, being cut down to 2 hours again. A lot of people were clamoring for this, but once we got it, everybody was complaining. Too many commercials. You know, not too much limited action. We saw CM Punk address his future. He was then bumped by Seth Rollins, who addressed his future. Jey Uso retained over Xavier Woods. Bron Breakker took out Jey Uso, Kofi Kingston, and Xavier Woods. We saw The Miz turn on R-Truth. Now it looks as if the Wyatts are after him. Sheamus defeat Pete Dunne in the match of the night, in my opinion, in a good old Donnybrook match. We had some women's actions where the team of Lyra Valkyria and friends defeated the PFC in the Unholy Union. And in the main event, no, ladies and gentlemen, Goldberg did not show up. Gunther retained his championship against Sami Zayn. What were your thoughts on Monday Night Raw with all that said?
Oof, that World Heavyweight Championship match. Oh my God. That, and just the fact that it was just on a regular Raw, that fed some people. That fed a village right there. Yeah, man, crazy. Sami Zayn, all them kickouts just to get, you know, like he literally had to get put down.
Just to get choked out.
Yes, he had to, because there was no pin in Sami Zayn. He got through everything. That was the only way. And that kind of goes back to what you said a couple pods ago about Gunther being in your top five, because he has so many ways to end you. He can end you in so many finishes, so many ways. The fact that he put him to sleep, that's just one of the ways that he could end you, you know, yeah, in a match. So that dude there is just it. Like, literally, he's a wrestling genius, bro. He's a wrestling genius.
A true five-tool player, that Gunther.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, like, that match was crazy. Like I said before, I really enjoyed the Sheamus versus Pete Dunne match. Sheamus is back after Raw was nuts. Yeah, I mean, I really didn't mind Raw being 2 hours. I understood all the commercial breaks because they still got ads that they got to, you know, pay to build or get paid for. Hopefully they can figure out the pace, because Raw does have the bigger roster, so you're not going to be able to fit everybody in. If you try to, it's going to feel rushed. But all in all, very intrigued. definitely like the story of Xavier Woods. Can't wait to see where that's gonna go. Man, yeah, I'm looking forward to Raw next week. Speaking of Gunther, a couple weeks ago, he was in a match with Ilya Dragunov on a tour, in which this resulted in Ilya tearing his ACL, so he's going to be out of action for some time. Also, in the last Monster Standing match, Braun Strowman ended up getting injured. I don't remember the injury right now, but he's going to be out for a month or two. What do you see as the bigger injury?
Obviously, the Ilya Dragunov one. And I think I need to check on my boy, one of our other co-hosts from time to time, Brian Woods, because that's like his number one. If you give him a top five list, he's going to be his number one every time.
He probably injured or not. Right now.
Like, I'm pretty sure he hurt. I might have to text him and make sure he good. But yeah, man, that sucks. ACL injuries, anything with the knee is just it sucks. Sucks, yo. And the fact that it can happen in an instant, it sucks. It really does suck because that could sideline you for a minute. Like anything knee related, it could sideline you for a minute, and that's never pretty because you're missing out on so much stuff that you can be doing, you know. But I hope Ilya Dragunov gets a speedy recovery and he's back. On the road, he's back doing them banger matches in no time.
Yeah, it always sucks to see this type of injury for both parties, both him and Strowman. I definitely feel as if sometimes injuries in wrestling can be blessings in disguise. We've seen certain people come back from injuries and be at the top of their game. Triple H, for one, when he returned at Madison Square Garden and got that huge ovation that really kind of put him back in the main event scene. And, you know, things like that. So I definitely think when Ilya comes back, he's going to be 100 times better. And a lot of people were kind of like, he wasn't standing out as much. This gives him the opportunity to come back, you know, not just physically better, but also character-wise as well. So, you know, all prayers and hopes and thoughts with him and Braun Strowman. I want to get into a little AEW stuff. They have Wrestle Dream this upcoming weekend. You know, some big money matches at that event. One thing AEW can do is put on good pay-per-view, so I'm pretty sure we're in store for one. But we've seen...
Now look, with all due respect, you have to give me the card because I have not been following up with it. I'm sorry. Look, everybody watching the podcast, let me be the first to say, I'm sorry, all right? I apologize. I have not been following up with AEW. That is my bad, okay? I can admit when I'm wrong. But it's just where I stand right now. I just ain't been watching it. I can't say I don't like it, but I just haven't been watching it. That's my bad, you know, so I'll take that one. But you have to fill me in on the card, though. So
I got you.
I know. Yeah.
So on the 0 hour, you know, the one that's free right before the show, we got Atlantis Jr. versus Brian Cage for the ROH World TV Championship. Now, I don't know who Atlantis Jr. is, so I'm not even going to pretend like I do. After this, we got Swerve Strickland returning, and I kind of wanted to stop right there a little bit because I want to talk about that. We've seen MVP show up in the past couple of weeks, extending the offer to talk business with Swerve Strickland. Then we saw the debut of Shelton Benjamin, which I'm pretty sure that went over well with Max Caster. And so what is your thoughts on it? Looks like we're getting the Hurt Business in AEW.
As far as that goes, when Bobby Lashley does, you know, debut, this is gonna happen. I don't know if the reports are probably most likely true about him signing with AEW. He does. Huh?
I said he's definitely debuting this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's official that he signed with AEW, so I want to make sure I got my sources right. So when he does, I mean, we'll see how they handle it. But like, kind of like I've been saying before, as far as them them pretty much like resurrecting the Hurt business, they're gonna have to go overtime with this. They're gonna have to go overtime if they want, you know, to have that same like that same feeling, like, and have it like hit the same way as it did when they did it, you know, a few years back during like the Thunderdome era. You know what I mean? So y'all gonna have to bring it. Y'all gonna have to, you know, come with it if you want it to, you know, hit. So I don't know, but I got high hopes for it. Thing is though, unfortunately, my expectations are kind of low, but that's okay though, because if my expectations are low, when something don't happen, I'm not as disappointed. So
yeah,
we'll just see.
It's definitely a wait and see. I feel like if Swerve does join them, it's a game changer because it gives them instant credibility.
Definitely. Former champ, definitely.
But continuing with the card, we got Darby Allin versus Brody King. Hangman Adam Page versus Jay White. For the AEW World Tag Team Championships, we got the Young Bucks versus Private Party. For the TNT Championship, we got Jack Perry defending against Katsuyori Shibata. For the ROH World Championship, we got Mark Briscoe versus Chris Jericho. For the International Championship, we got a triple threat between champion Will Ospreay, Ricochet, and Konosuke Takeshita, who I hope walks out as the champion. We got the Women's World Championship match between Mariah May and Willow Nightingale, who just qualified on last night's episode of Title Tuesday Dynamite. And then, in the main event, we have AEW World Champion Bryan Danielson defending his title against Jon Moxley. And I feel like we could possibly see the debut of Shane McMahon. I could be wrong, but
now I'm gonna ask you this question because I know there's a stipulation on Bryan Danielson about if he loses his next match, he's done. Mm-hmm. Do you think he loses this match, or does my theory that I had since the jump of his start of his championship reign, does that still stand?
I don't think he loses this match. I think. But then at the same time, the reason why I think we might see somebody else at the end is to take kind of like the attention off of Jon Moxley losing. And as far as your theory, I don't know, possibly, you know,
I'm still standing on it, dude. I'm standing on it. And for the people that don't know, my theory is that eventually, Darby Allin's going to get his opportunity for the AEW Championship. And win. Be the one to retire Bryan Danielson. Just for Christian. To cash in his opportunity. And beat Darby Allin.
I could see it.
Because look, think about it. Like, you know how some of them major championships always have that short reign? The shortest reign in championship history?
Rey Mysterio.
AEW doesn't have that yet. That'll kind of give it a swerve, you know what I mean? I'll probably,
yeah.
No pun intended. But that will kind of throw, you know, the audience a curveball. And sure, it would definitely keep me on the edge of my seat and be like, oh, I gotta tune in. I got AEW next week. I gotta tune in. Let me check out this episode of AEW Dynamite real quick.
Yeah, I definitely been keeping tabs on them. I'm not going to lie. Like, do I sit there and watch every Dynamite? No, not at all. Especially not
what
with
about,
sports.
What about, what's that other one? Collision.
Hell no.
when did they put that on? Saturdays or Fridays?
I think Saturday. I think Friday is Rampage, I think.
Oh, I forgot about Rampage. See, they got too many shows, bro.
They about to make another one too because they just read up on their deal and they making another show, I think.
Come on. They don't need no other shows, bro. Y'all already got three. And y'all used to have one on YouTube called Dark. AEW Dark. What happened to that? That was like their Dark was kind of like their NXT.
Yeah.
Their developmental. I was actually invested in that though.
Yeah, because you got to see a lot of like the talent from the indies kind of getting the start there.
Right. I enjoyed that. You know what I mean?
It's funny because a lot of people that, not to cut you off, but a lot of people that showed up on Dark is actually in NXT now. So.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Like Cora Jade, Rin Sinclair, like a lot of people. So.
Yeah.
Sticking with AEW, we saw Daniel Garcia last night confirming that he is staying in AEW amidst reports of him possibly leaving along with Ricky Starks and Hook heading to WWE in 2025. What is the bigger deal, that or AEW being petty by adding injury time onto Rey Fénix's contract so he cannot sign with WWE? Which is the bigger deal?
Oh, now, I'm going to say the Rey Fénix thing, because I ain't going to lie. That is petty as hell. Like, come on, dude. Like, I mean, I could understand it, though, because at the end of the day, like, he is under contract with AEW. I don't know how the contracts and obligations work and stuff like that, but I'm pretty sure when they have you under a deal, you have to, like, you know, commit to that full deal. And I'm pretty sure there's an injury clause in them contracts where if you get injured for some of them contracts, they pause them. Like, pretty much until you work a full calendar year or a full calendar 5 years or whatever, how long the contract is, the contract is still in place. So... yeah, that's kind of a bad one. That's kind of tough. That's tough.
I mean, Kenny Omega ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, because he's sick, though. So, I mean, I don't think he wants to go anywhere, though. Does he want to stay in AEW, though?
Yeah, he wants to stay.
It's not really an issue for Kenny Omega. Look. I hope and pray a speedy recovery for Kenny Omega, but hey. I don't think he's complaining, you know, collecting a check and recovering right now. I don't think he's complaining about that, so.
That's facts.
Because he put in a lot of work, you know what I mean? If AEW ever had Legends contracts, I think Kenny Omega should be the first one that they look into for a Legends contract because that man has put in so much work.
For sure.
As far as the indies go, New Japan, all that. Like, I learned about Kenny Omega in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Same.
That's why I watched New Japan Pro Wrestling, was because of Kenny Omega and the Bullet Club. So, hey, if they ever have legend contracts, he needs to be one of the first names that are on that list of getting a legend contract.
And, he's definitely deserving. I miss seeing him in that ring. Just think, you know, we could have got another Omega versus Ospreay. We could have got Omega versus Ricochet.
Omega versus Swerve.
I was going to say Swerve that. Strickland.
Look, man. Just let him recover. He gonna be back soon. It's just
for sure.
It's gonna take him a little time. He's getting older, man. He ain't getting no younger. So, like. I'm pretty sure the IWC is being very patient with him. So
Definitely. That's
just how it's going to have to be. We got to just be patient with him. So
let's continue with AEW as well. MJF was recently casted for the filming of Happy Gilmore 2, an Adam Sandler film. Now, I don't even remember the first one that much, but is this a, where are you going this? Big deal, little deal, no deal?
I think it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Because, I mean, I like Happy Gilmore. You know, Adam Sandler, it's a funny dude. So, them bringing this back, like I said, is one of those rather late than never scenarios. But I just fear that the movies that they take a long time to make a sequel for,
I just don't want it to be
a nostalgia jump. You know what I mean? Because that's what these movies have been. But the ones that take long to make a sequel for,
mm-hmm.
like, for instance, I don't even know if you remember this movie, but the first Coming to America.
I was thinking the same thing.
Trash. Terrible, son. When I say terrible, like, it literally was just a nostalgia jump. Like, they just brought back all the old characters for, like, little cameos and stuff like that. And it's just like, oh, like, where's the plot? Like, come on, man. Like, so I just hope that it's not one of those. But knowing Adam Sandler, I'm pretty sure he's going to cook up in that movie. And adding MJF, I'm pretty sure he's going to play a comedy character in that movie somehow, some way. Because that dude, MJF, believe it or not, that's a funny dude. So I could see him in that movie, Happy Gilmore. I could definitely see him being even the guy that Adam Sandler is going against. When he plays a big role in that movie. Because he could play a bad guy in that movie too. So I could see that happening, bro. That's gonna be funny. I have high hopes for this movie.
We'll see. Like I said, I don't remember the first one, so I have to go back and watch it.
It's good. It's funny.
All right, last topic before we get to Xander Slander. Which return do you prefer? The Hardy Boys want one final run in WWE, and former Divas champion Layla, one half of Lay Cool, is open to a Royal Rumble appearance.
Oof. I don't even got to think about that one. Hardy Boys returning for one more run in the WWE. Because, I mean, it's just, that's going to be the icing on the cake for them. I can't see them retiring from AEW. I just can't. Like, I see them both going in the Hall of Fame at some point in their careers. Like, they're more than, like, deserving for it. Like, that's just how it's got to be. Definitely. So, like, unfortunately for Jeff Hardy, though, and Matt, they're not getting any younger. So a lot of their moveset, I'm sorry, but Jeff, a lot of your moveset got to change, man.
Not my goat. Don't say that about my goat.
Look, Jeff Hardy, dude, that's one of them dudes right there that's invited to cookout any day. Hell, you might get somebody on this podcast that'll even go as far as saying, then, and this is going to be controversial. But if you get somebody on this pod, they'll probably say that he can even get an N-word pass.
Hell no. You know what I
mean? Because of how much influence he had on the black community, though. Because of how much influence he had, on us, you know what I mean? But
Jeff Hardy was painting his nails first.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, man, them retiring and having one last run with the WWE, that's definitely something that I have to see, because I don't think it went right on the last go around when they came back. And what WrestleMania was that? 34?
I know it's the one with like the little roller coaster setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember though.
But off topic, that stage was badass, bro.
That was one of the best.
Yes, definitely.
But you know how big of a Jeff Hardy fan I am, so I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Most definitely.
Definitely got to happen. You know, Layla would be cool too, but yeah. Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Team Extreme, forever. All right, last topic of the day, because we're running out of time. We got to get into some Xander slander, ladies and gentlemen. And Xander, you walked away. But we got a real weirdo catching some footage of the female NXT wrestlers. Yes, he was in a hotel in St. Louis taking pictures of the women's wrestlers' feet. And he wasn't kicked out not just one time, but he was kicked out twice. So, you know, this is the point in the show where I hand it over to you and let you do your thing.
Alrighty. Oh man, so let's see. We're just gonna call you Bob, alright? So, Mr. Bob, bruh, what are you thinking? Alright, you over here not getting kicked out not once, but twice out of a hotel for taking pictures of feet, dude? Come on, man. Feet, bro? Like, come on, like, let's just be real. Like, you probably don't get no play. You're probably about what? You probably look like you're 250 pounds. You're probably on top of that, you're probably an AEW mark. So, I mean, hey, if you think you have to get your kicks off or whatever for some feet, you gotta take that stuff elsewhere, pal, because that stuff is not allowed over here. And that right there is courtesy of Mr. All-in-One from the 6-3-1, Allen Zander.
Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
When y'all see talent in hotels or whatever, don't be no weirdo. At the end of the day, look, wrestlers are tired. When they get to the hotel, they want to go to sleep. So, hey, if they nice enough to be like, all right, you know what, let's get a picture or something. If they nice enough to do that, be blessed that they even took the time, took out the effort to even take a picture with you, because they don't have to do that. You know what I mean? So, just if I leave y'all off of one note, stop being weird. Stop being weird. You're making yourself look bad. And you could possibly even get banned from any programming with World Wrestling Entertainment or with any wrestling venues as a whole. You can get blackballed, sir. So you might want to think twice next time that you do that. So that's all I got to say.
With that being said, I am your host, Rhonda Dunn. Also your host, Allen Zander. You know, follow us on all social media platforms. Like, share, comment, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a 5-star rating.
And next week, I got some stellar news to tell everybody on the podcast about some. I got some stuff cooking up. So we got some news coming y'all way. Because man, oh man, the stuff I just found out. December looking real nice.
Yes, sir. You know, with us, you know, we're going to keep it going. Definitely want to be here next week when we drop a bomb on this mug. And then, like that, if Xander good, I'm good. We out.
Peace.
Forever and I'm just not getting started.
That's the one. Yeah.